I'm Dr. Rod Berger. Sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and explore some of today's most pressing educational issues through the experienced eyes of leading education personalities. Welcome to Coffeed.
Well, I'm looking forward to this. We're going to be continuing our conversation, looking more in-depthly at the library media sciences and the impact that they have, not only for teachers within the schools that serve our children, but also, obviously, the students and what they're experiencing and how they are such a resource for education at large. We're going to be speaking with, many of you know her as the Candid Librarian, Jennifer Northrup. She is in North Carolina working with the Department of Public Instruction, Digital Teaching and Learning Consultant, supporting formerly Region 8, which is now Western, the Western region. Her career in education began as a classroom teacher after graduating from Appalachian State University with a degree in middle grades education. She went on to earn national board certification and master's degrees from the University of North Carolina at Greensboro and East Carolina University in Library and Information Science and Instructional Technology. We also want to make sure to mention and thank our sponsor, Chuzito, and Search and Learn, because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. You can go to chuzito.com, that's chuzito.com. Well, Jennifer, should I call you the Candid Librarian or do you want me to call you Jennifer?
Jennifer will be fine. Thanks.
So before we get into some of the topics that I just referenced, tell us a little bit about the name, the Candid Librarian. I'm always fascinated with the way that we brand ourselves in this 21st century learning environment.
Well, the Candid Librarian came from kind of the fact that I'm a pretty straight shooter. I'm surprised that, that's pretty obvious, I think. I'm not, you know, some media coordinators are somewhat subdued and quiet. I'm pretty outspoken and obviously very candid about my thoughts and opinions about school libraries and their role.
I love it. I think it's great. And the picture, for those of you who've been to her website at Blogspot, candidlibrarian.blogspot.com, is great with the cartoon image of you on the newspaper. I love that. So very creative. Jennifer, let's dive into some heavier topics, and you being candid will be very refreshing in this space, and appreciative on my end. Is let's talk about where libraries are now. I think that one of the biggest challenges in education is how do we maintain value of a physical space when we're now working in blended environments. We've got MOOCs, we've got sort of students saying, you know, I can get all of what I need on YouTube, and or I don't even need to leave my house or my dorm room. I'm just very curious to your perspective as to how libraries can maintain relevance in a digital age and where you see that it's going well and areas that they can improve.
Well, that's definitely an interesting point, because I think a library now has to have a virtual and a physical space. They have to be prominent in both. And I'm going to use NC State's Hunt Library as a prime example. They have really modernized the way a library looks, and it's extremely active and collaborative spaces everywhere. Furniture is very unique. It's movable. And that's what our school libraries hope to emulate too. We want a space where kids can collaborate. They can, connect on so many different levels, whether it's with makerspace or STEM projects. It's so much more than a book repository. We really want to create a flexible, welcoming space for students at all levels.
Let's talk about the information that students are getting within those libraries. And I love the idea when you talk about, obviously, the different, even from the furniture perspective, the look and feel that a student experiences when they walk into it. So let's then go to the next step, which is the information that they're going to be interacting with. And, you know, I found that one of the biggest challenges right now with information is that, you know, it's not about schools giving access to resources, but the curation of those resources and building that skill set. How are we doing in that area? And do you have examples or ways that you think that we can improve in that area?
Well, I definitely think that we're making strides in that area, and school librarians are in a unique situation where they're the experts. They're able to help curate those resources in unique and different ways. And there are so many different web tools out there that are available to curate those resources in a digital manner, whether that be, you know, a Symbaloo or a Live Binder. All of those tools make curation super simple. And the most popular and the one that's so easy to get people on board, Pinterest. Everybody loves Pinterest. It's easy to use. You can find everything from education ideas, makerspace ideas. And so for those that maybe lack that creative gene, which I'll say that that's me, definitely, I lack the creative gene, Pinterest is my best friend. And as a media coordinator, I can start pulling all of those different resources and ideas to build a space that meets the need of my students. And there's not a one-size-fits-all anymore. I mean, it depends on the needs of your community. It depends on your focus. I know I was working with a district recently that they're going to start really focusing on entrepreneurship. And so that's going to start to look at grant funding, and they've looked at the businesses in their community and how they can bring that into their space so that they can prepare those students for the future.
Tell me about the professional development and the I guess, the preparation to become a library media specialist librarian in today's age, because it almost sounds to me when you're talking, and it makes sense to me, that they have to be just as tech savvy as some of the ed tech personalities that you and I may know on, you know, on Twitter or Facebook that are talking about products in that way. That if you're going to be sort of on your game, ready to shift to, oh, we're going to focus on entrepreneurs in this community and we're going to get these different resources, that you have to know a lot of information about the technology at your fingertips and how to use it, and then actually train students on how to use it.
That's true. We've definitely seen a change in library science programs that are going to focus on how to incorporate that digital aspect. In the state of North Carolina, for instance, we do require a certified media coordinator in schools, meaning that they have to have the teacher certification as well as that master's in library science. And I'm sure that's probably pretty standard in other states as well. And it does. It makes sure they're prepared. Now, there are some of us who we've been around for a while, so we have to kind of build on those technology skills in other ways. And for me, that starting point was Twitter. I really, you know, I never thought I would get a degree in instructional technology, but that became such a focus when I was in a school that it was the natural next step for me. And from everything I learned on Twitter and through various blogs, that's how I connected, and that's how I became that instructional technology leader in my school.
Obviously, April is National School Library Month. So tell me a little bit about what your expectations are for this month, and how do you like to participate, or what's sort of fun for you in your position on, maybe is it the community of librarians that now participate maybe more in sharing ideas? What is it for you when we're putting a focus on it during the month of April?
So, you know, we talk about April being School Library Month, and I think it's important to, yes, celebrate the role of school libraries and school librarians, but that should be a focus all year. It shouldn't be something that we just do for a week or for a month. It should be something that is part of our natural school environment. Now, it's a great time to start a marketing or advocacy campaign, but ultimately, we need to keep libraries in the forefront all year. We need to be very transparent in our work and share what we're doing all the time, because that goes to support the long-run funding of our programs and the success for our students.
How are we doing in that space if we talk about advocacy? I mean, there are so many groups now that are sort of, you know, putting up the flag saying, hey, look at what we need in education, and it's sort of hard to find enough wiggle room for your cause or your discipline as a professional within the ecosystem of education. How do you think we're doing with regards to library media sciences and making sure that people understand the value proposition, that the resources are there, and that programs continue to be funded in a way that makes sense for students to be able to experience the resources that are out there?
You know, funding is definitely an issue. I think it's definitely dwindling for education in general, not just school libraries, and it does require some creative thinking. Fortunately, school librarians, they're pretty resourceful. You know, that's the name of the game. So they're really good at seeking out grants and donations. But from an advocacy standpoint, I know for me, I feel a little uncomfortable getting on the soapbox, which is kind of funny from the candid librarian. There's something really comfortable being.
There's an irony there, right?
Yeah, there is. And but I kind of think of it as, when people say advocacy, I'm so afraid that people think of advocacy in a negative light. You know, kind of getting out on your soapbox and here we are. But I think you can do advocacy in a way that sells what you're doing. It sells how it's beneficial for students, and making sure that people know that school libraries are important, you know, that we do support student learning, that we are part of the instructional process. That is so critical to making sure that school libraries continue to get funding. And I think that with ESSA, which actually references school libraries, I think we're going to see a little bit more of a focus there, or at least I hope.
Yeah, no, I do too. I think you're exactly right. We want to make sure that our audience knows that we are sponsored by Chuzito. You search and learn, because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. So tell me, Jennifer, tell me about your background as a young student, and what was it about libraries that captured your imagination and attention so much so that obviously this is your professional path?
That's such a funny question, because this is not the path I really foresaw. I actually started library school with the intention of leaving K-12 education.
Okay, that did not work.
I don't think I ever said that out loud, so I planned on going to academic libraries. That was my plan. And it just so happened that the year I was in my last year of my library science program, our school media coordinator went on maternity leave. And so, you know, okay, let's give this a try. So I did an interim, and then I was hooked. And it's funny. I just never thought I would be there, but it's something I would never trade and never change, because the impact I had on students was so different and so much more meaningful to me, even than when I was just with an individual classroom, because my impact on students was far greater than just one classroom.
Tell me about that hook. So when you said that you were hooked, what was the experience? Was it working with young people? I mean, what was it about that?
I think it's working with students and working with teachers in a different capacity. You know, we have such a tendency in education to isolate ourselves that you kind of don't know what's happening in the next classroom. And when I was able to be a media coordinator, I was able to work with different teachers in different subject areas. If I would have never thought I could have worked in a science classroom. I mean, that's scary for a lot of people in regards to science knowledge. But I was able to connect with a science teacher and do an integrated unit. And the collaborative piece was such a great change for me. You know, collaboration, I talk about that a lot. That's one of my big, I don't know, I don't want to say platform, but maybe.
That's your soapbox. That's okay.
Yeah, I'll say it. But collaboration is my big thing. And it's so important to the instructional process, because as a media coordinator, I was there from the ground up. It wasn't the idea of cooperation. Sometimes we have some people have a hard time defining that difference between cooperation and collaboration. It's so much more than pulling books. It's the planning of the lesson. It's the teaching of the lesson together. It's the assessment of the lesson together, and then looking at growth and ways to change and reflect on it as well. So,
you know, it's funny, as I'm hearing you, I'm thinking, what a fantastic almost advertisement, not even to diminish what you're saying, but for students who are thinking about going into the teaching profession. Mm-hmm. Because as I hear you, it's, you got the best of both worlds, right? Because you're able to experience and help support a science lesson or a teacher that is in mathematics based on their need to be able to understand resources and how they can integrate in their students with what you have at your disposal within the library or the digital library, right? So that to me is a fantastic advertisement for engaging students who are looking at a career and understanding the depths and the complexities of working in a library and how you can really help the whole school out.
Yes, it's definitely, you know, I think sometimes people don't realize, I'm going to kind of change the tone of this question a little bit and start with, when you think about beginning teachers, that's one area that I feel like maybe school preparation programs don't give enough information, is about how you can work with school media coordinators, you know, because they come to schools and they don't recognize that, wow, this person has all of these tools and can help support me in so many different ways. And so it's an ability to be a partner and touch so many more students. And, you know, now I still live in the community where I worked, even though I work for the Department of Public Instruction. And, you know, I see those students, and there are so many more students I connected with that I wouldn't have had that opportunity had I just been a one classroom teacher.
So you hit on something there. So tell me about that. So when we're talking about teacher preparation programs, can they be doing a better job of actually integrating in for their own students the resource that they have at their disposal when they enter into a physical school?
I think they're making strides that way. I don't want to be critical at all, because I think teacher prep programs are doing a great job, and there's so much to cover. You know, they have various state initiatives they have to make sure those teachers are prepared for, but I think it's important to help them understand that they do have a support system besides a principal or a lead teacher, that media coordinator or instructional technology facilitator is in that building, and they can help you, and they can help you accomplish so much more. And I actually got an opportunity to talk to some students in teacher prep classes recently, and they were like, well, we don't have this at our school. And I said, have you talked to the media coordinator? Because sometimes teachers don't know, which means we as media coordinators need to do a better job of marketing what we have sometimes. But those teachers don't necessarily know who to reach out to. And I think that we're going to see changes in that. I mean, education's undergoing, at least in North Carolina, some really serious change. And it's an exciting time.
It is. And to think that, you know, for young people, media and the access to it, I mean, that's what they love, even when they're out of school. And so to know that the resources are there within the library, within the school, should be something that we should all be paying attention to. So we want to thank Jennifer Northrup, the Candid Librarian. This is a lot of fun. We want to thank our sponsors at Chuzito, Search and Learn, because the web is not a library and search engines are not librarians. Go to chuzito.com. That's chuzito.com. I'm Dr. Rod Berger.
Join us for our next cup of coffee as we continue to have conversations in education that matter to you. I'm Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Coffee.